How are y'all doing this morning?
Fabulous.
I got one fabulous. Two fabulouses. Anybody just say Bummer City? No. Bummer City. Okay, you got one Bummer City. In Psalm 73, I think this is a song of Asaph, yeah. Song of Asaph. Everybody says the Psalm of David, but everybody says David wrote the Psalms. He wrote a lot of them, but he didn't write all of them. So this is a Song of Asaph. And at verse 21, he starts saying, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to draw near God." Let me read that again. "But as for me, how good it is to draw near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." So this morning, we have an opportunity to draw near to God. Not that God's far away from us. He's inside of us. He lives through us. We have our life in him. We live and move and have our being in him. But we get to turn our focus. We get to set our attentions, our affections, our hearts on the Lord now. So if you would stand with me, we have Nettie in the house. Yay! This is Ledette. Alan, yeah. Got to remember that new last name. I don't get to say it very often. And she's with us here today, and she's going to lead us in worship. She is going to worship the Lord, and we're going to join in with her. How's that? But let's just prepare our hearts. Father, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, we thank you that we have access into your very presence. Lord, that where you are, we are right now, Lord. And we just by faith, Lord, receive all of your goodness, all of your blessings, all of your love into our lives. Lord, all of your healing, all of your transformation power. Lord, we just receive what you have for us today. And Lord, we just want to step aside, Lord, if we're in the way, God, and we're stopping you from doing what you want to do. We choose, Lord, to leave those things, Lord, that are worthless, as the Bible says, and turn our hearts towards you. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're doing a mighty work, Lord, in our lives in this day. And so, Lord, we just want to praise you now. We want to draw near to you, Lord, with everything within us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
powerful words, let hope arise. Let hope arise. And the sense that I'm having is that the Lord wants to hear testimony. Testimony to answered prayer. And it doesn't have to be whatever, whatever, whatever. The Lord has touched you. You heard from the Lord. You're beseeching the Lord. You're awaiting upon the Lord. And I also sense that it is also meant for our youth, that our youth have had something happen in their life, something simple, something big, big for them. And that there's a testimony from them as well. And so if the Lord is pounding on your heart, if the Lord is pushing on you, and you're one that usually doesn't share, answer your Father. Share with us what the Lord is doing in your life so we can be blessed as well. And maybe you're still struggling through it, but our hope will arise in Him. Our hope will arise in Him, and we will come alive. We will come alive in His glory. So don't hesitate. Don't wait for another day. The Lord is calling you now, now, to share with your brothers and sisters, and mainly to speak it out, to speak it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we wait with expectation to hear what the Lord has done in your lives. And so let the Spirit move in you. Let the Spirit be your guide.
Bringing hope to the hopeless. long time, and I'm pretty dry, and I'm pretty stale, and I'm pretty stagnant, but God, I'm pretty tired of being that way. So I'm gonna today let hope arise in me and say, God, you're in control, you're sovereign, you know what's best, you know what's in my best interest, and you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny that you're calling forth. What is it? What is it? Let your hope arise in you today. Remind yourself who you are and who wins. Who wins at the end? Let hope arise. 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 Let hope arise.
As I was listening and kind of thinking about what the Spirit of God may be doing and saying this morning, I had a scripture just burst, just boom, in my mind and my heart. And we have to say it out. We have to say it out. We have to confess. But my feelings don't match my confessions. What does that have to do with anything? So this is from Isaiah 49:2. This is in line with what you just said. He said, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. You may not even know today your confession, your simple confession of hope in a hopeless situation. You're a weapon. You're the secret weapon. You're God's secret weapon this morning for whatever the circumstance is. You're God's secret weapon this morning over this valley. You're God's secret weapon over this church this morning. Speak it out. Say it. Proclaim the words of God. Even if your feelings don't match your confession. You know what? We got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it. We've got to keep doing it. But we are a secret weapon, and so often we take it for granted. We think that we're, it's just me. No. You're a polished arrow. You're a sharp sword right into the heart of Satan, right here, right into every assignment he has for you and for your family and for your community. You're the weapon. It's you. We're standing around and waiting for somebody else. Honey, it's time for us to become that weapon that God has made us to be. So that's the word the Lord gave me this morning. Thank you.
explain something, but I really feel like the Lord is calling me up here to talk a little bit about a situation that happened with my daughter and another student, and it wasn't anything too severe, but I was really upset and I was really angry, and I met with the teacher, and it wasn't anything, you know, terrible. It was something definitely we could talk about and just get over, but I was really upset, and I felt like this child was an enemy to me. And what the teacher said really hit me hard, and she said, you know, the ultimate goal is that this child can learn how to treat others, because that's who God would have us be. And so it took the enemy out of that child, and all week I was thinking, you know, we all do things. We all are human. We make mistakes. How can we, in the end, be like Jesus? You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up. We've done all these things. We've done things to people. We've done things to ourselves. Just things have been done to us. But in the end, how would God want us to be? And He would want us to forgive ourselves. He would want us to forgive our neighbors. He would want us to forgive our family and friends, because that is how God loves us. So if you're dealing with something right now, unforgiveness, doubt in what the Lord can do in your life because of unforgiveness, He's wanting you to realize and to step out in faith and forgive and forget, and remember that Jesus, ultimately, His goal was to love. His goal was not to punish and to say, you've done this, you've done that, and hold you underneath it. Thank you. His goal is to create an atmosphere of love for everybody. And that sounds kind of childish, you know. Addie says, I love everybody. And that's how God wants us to be. So, thank you.
So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know.
Of life, like, block Him, it seems. But that's a lie. That's a lie, because we can see through those. They don't have to block us from seeing our Lord and Savior. They're a mirage. They're fake. Because all we have to do is turn our heart towards our Savior, and we'll see Him. Fix our gaze upon Him. Remember what He did for you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last week. Thank Him for the life that you have right now, and that's a way of turning your gaze to Him. Start thanking Him for His goodness and His love, even though you don't see it, because it's real. His goodness and His love is real. Thank Him for the problems that are in your life right now, because they're going to reveal His power and authority and glory in your life. Thank Him for those things that seem to be the one things that are trying to take you down right now, because they're the things that are going to be used to reveal who He is and his power and his glory and his anointing. It's easy to let life blow us around, batter us, beat us up. But it's not the way God designed it. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. All we have to do is come to him, draw near to him, leave behind our baggage, or put it at his feet. But it is an effort on our part that we have to let ourselves hope in him. Let ourselves pray his name. Let ourselves thank him. Because we're the only one stopping us. We're the only one keeping us from opening our mouth. God's not going to grab your mouth and start flapping it and make you praise him. So you're powerful. You can be miserable or you can be hopeful. And faith is that link. That hope is that link to faith. And faith is the faith that can move mountains. And it just takes some hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just receive, Lord, all your goodness today. We thank you, Lord, for the problems in our life. Because we know, Lord, you're going to let those problems, Lord, be just what you use for us to step closer to you, to know you more. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, your mercies that are new every morning, Lord. Even if I don't see your mercies, Lord, they're there. I thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for the angels of God that protect our lives, that open up doors for us and cause things to happen, Lord, that some of us are totally unaware of. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom's all around us and it's working on our behalf and through us today. In Jesus' name. Oh, amen.
Okay. I haven't been up here in a while, but even the little things matter, I guess, and I just felt like I had to share. But yes. Prayer does work. I've been praying for a really long time since I was, when I got together with my husband, 14 years old. I've been praying for 21 years for this, just stuff in our lives and things that we've been going through and stuff. And 21 years of prayer, and I felt like it was never going to happen. But I remember talking to Gaylene, and she's like, you have to pray for him. You can't pray for you. But I always thought, well, doesn't God want me to be happy? Not just him, but for me to be happy? Ain't I important to God? I mean, but all these years, God was showing me, it's not about you. It's not about you. You have to stop looking at you, and you have to pray for that person. But you can't expect it. You know, and I was like, man, I was just confused for years. I mean, 21 years, very confused. So recently, these past 2 years have been rough. I've been going through a lot. You know, things have happened. And I started praying. I remember texting them, my husband, you know, telling him, even though I told, like I said, I don't want to get into it, but we've been going through a lot. And I remember texting him because he texted me. He's like, why do you even care what happens to me? And something just giving popped in my head. And I was like, because it's not between me and you. Our relationship right now doesn't matter. It's your relationship with God. And to me, that's what matters. And he's all like, wow. He goes, all I've done to you and the kids and just stuff like that. And I was like, you know, you're right. But that's not important right now. I go, I've been praying for a really long time. And now I understand. You don't pray to gain for yourself, but for the others. You know, so it's like, oh, man, all these years. And just recently, I've been talking a lot to Sarah and Stephen and stuff. And that prayer for 21 years is finally, even though I don't see it now, it started to take place. Amen. Over 20. I mean, it's like, so even when you think that it's never going to happen, it happens in his time. And now I get it. It's in his time and it's not in our time. So if you feel like you've been praying and nothing's happening, just keep doing it. It helps, even though sometimes you feel rocky, you feel like it's not, but it's happening. Just keep praying. I mean, my husband even told me now, he's like, okay, so now we're going to do this. We're going to read our word every morning. And I was looking at him like, you're crazy. Okay, whatever. Leave me alone. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, he's like on me like, did you read your word? And I was like, no. Okay, so he goes to work and I read my word really quick. And I, you know, and it's just weird because now he's reminding me not to forget to read my word, because now he's doing it too. And I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, even though it's a change and now I'm going to have to adjust and let him take over the house and do all that, it's, you know, it's worth it. 21 years of waiting, 21 years of struggling, 21 years of just feeling like it was never going to happen, I can say it was worth the wait in God's timing.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. It is worth the wait. It is worth the wait. Would the children please come up? Good morning. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
It is? Mm-hmm. Is it the big 40? 44? 4-4. I thought it wasn't the 4-0. I thought we already did the 4-0. You wanted to do it again, huh? Okay, so it's Moses' birthday. So since you brought it up, can you help us start singing happy birthday to him? You got to hit just a key and we'll follow. Are you ready?
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Moses. Happy birthday to you. Yay! Yep, 44 more, right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You guys ready to go down? Let's pray for them. Father, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kids. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts. We pray you bless them today. Help them, Lord, to be good, but help them to go and learn from you what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Help them be good, right? Anything else? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. So as are you coming up? We might be like dueling coughing up here sometimes. So. I think she might be coughing more. You're going to take this side. Okay, you're really messing me up this morning. Awesome. We're mixing it up. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see if we're good, David. Oh, yeah. So today I wanted to go over a couple of ways to study the Bible. I've gone over some ways to study the Bible actually by using tools and explain some other ideas about when you study the Bible. But today I'm going to give you a couple of tips, and I'll maybe add a couple more next week. These tips that I got were from Carmen Miller on a Christian info site. But I like what she says here. Over the past few years, I have changed up how I study to get a more in-depth study. Or if I was in a hurry, just enough fuel to keep me running through the day. Hey, heard that, right? It's not about how much you're in your word, rather how much word is in you. It's not about how much you're reading the Bible, it's how much of the Bible do we have practically in our hearts. There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying, meditating on the word, the Bible, and then actually living it out, applying it to your daily life. Carmen Miller. Let's see if we can do this here. Hello. It's not working. Is it working? Did I mess it up? It's what? It's fine print right there, exactly. David's fixing it. I messed it up. Okay, so here's one method. You might have to stay there, David. So do you have to leave at a certain time? But you'll get somebody that'll run the machine. Good, okay. Soap is a method. It's scripture, observation, application, and then prayer. So scripture, slowly and carefully read through the passage.
Imagine what the people in the passage were experiencing. Write down a verse that stands out to you. So you may be reading just a chapter. You may be reading just a portion of the scripture. As something stands out, as something the Holy Spirit kind of ignites in you, write that down. Observation. Write down your observations about the passage. Summarize the passage and think about what God has to say to you. So make that passage personal in your life. Then application. Write down how the passage applies to your daily life. Do you see similar situations in your life? How can you respond in the way Jesus taught or some other place in the Word? Prayer. Write down an honest and heartfelt prayer. Remember that God always listens and already knows your needs. So it's basically interacting with the Word. Instead of just reading the Bible, you're reading the Scripture. You're reading the Scripture, but then you're starting to observe. You're starting to say, okay, let me think about this. Let me ponder this. You're starting to meditate on it. And then you're going to say, Lord, how does this apply to me? How does this work in my life? I like that. Let's try it again here. Yay, okay, it's working out. Okay, so here's another way. Ignatian method of prayer and Bible study. You're saying, what's an Ignatian? Well, think of the Ignatian method, and it's named after Ignatius of Loyola. There we go, Loyola. Okay, here we go. 1491 to 1556, so he's pretty old. As a sort of virtual experience of the Scripture, I like this, where you read the Scripture and then create in your mind a short film about what you read. In the Ignatian method, you enter into the story so that you can learn more about and participate more fully in the mind, the heart, and the work of Christ. So here's how you read the Bible in the Ignatian method. You find a quiet place, first of all, for yourself, and ask Holy Spirit to guide you. So you're starting before you even come to the Word. You're asking Holy Spirit, okay, I want Holy Spirit, you to be my guide, be my leader through this time. Open the Bible to the passage you're going to study. Narratives are the best passage for the Ignatian method. So in other words, something that someone else is maybe telling a story about something that Jesus did, or a story from the Old Testament or something. Maybe Psalms would maybe be difficult to do this with because you're imagining yourself as we get to the next one. Picture as you read the passage. Create a picture of the scene in your mind. Place yourself in the scene. Ask the following questions. What do I see and hear? What do I smell, taste, or touch? Who are the characters and what are they doing? What emotions do I sense? So you're connecting yourself with the Word. You're connecting yourself with that story. Now, some of you say, well, that's a story back then. I mean, how can I know what it smells like? Well, God knows what was going on then. He can activate things in your heart to bring that to life in you. Then ponder. What does this mean to you? What are you really longing for in your heart? So in other words, what is it that God's doing inside of you right now, and how could he be interacting with you in this passage? Pray. Convert your reflections and considerations into prayers to God and ask God for help, guidance, and blessing. And then practice. Make a specific commitment to apply what you've learned from this passage. Rest in God's love. So you're making the Word become alive in your heart. Now, you may not just be able to just read it and then, you know, and just say, okay, you may need to just take your time, read it slowly, ponder each verse, but it's making and helping the Word come alive to you. How many know the Word is alive, right? Amen. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into our study today. We've been talking about the heart over the past, I think it was the last week. And I think even the week before, maybe, trying to remember, it's so hard to remember what I talked about yesterday to someone, but it's less what we preached about last week. Last week, we were talking about, and I thought about it yesterday, it was preparing our heart. And the preparedness of our heart is a process, as we know. But I really, and I mentioned this during the message last week, and I said, you know, I think I really need to refocus on this because, as I said last week, the heart is the basis of us. And I was praying this morning, and I was just coming before the Lord, and I was coming before this throne of grace, and I saw myself
before the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm picturing myself there because I'm just saying, Lord, you know, this is your holy presence. I'm coming into his presence, kind of doing what we were talking about. But as I was doing this, the Lord was telling me that the heart is a type of Holy of Holies. It's the residency of God. It's where when we open our heart, our veil, and we say, Lord, come in, he takes residence in there. And, you know, if you look what was there, it was the rod of Aaron. It was the table the jar of manna. And it was the tablets. And those are characteristics that our heart carries. So I'm not going to get into that right now. I might share that another time. But as I was thinking about sharing this verse last week, I said, okay, I want to really break it down. And so I don't know exactly where Gay's going to go with it, but I'm sure she's got something very practical. She's really good about the practical stuff. Amen? Gay brings good practical stuff. I bring like the deep word. Okay, so 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. New Living Translation said it this way, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Young Literal Translation says, above every charge, keep thy heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. And the Message says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. So we're going to break down every word here today. I know some of these things are difficult to read, and I apologize for that, and I'll make sure it doesn't happen that bad next time, because these are really hard to see. I can read them fine. Can most everybody read it okay? No, most everybody's... Anyway, so the first word, keep, guard, watch over. It's the word not, sir, and it's the Hebrew word H, or the strong word H5341. Now, this is out of a lexicon that is based on the actual Hebrew words. And you can get this lexicon online, and you can also get it in the eSword Bible. But these are guys that actually went back to the letters and where they originated from, the actual roots of the word. And most of Hebrew is about very, very practical things. It's about farming. It's about, you know, houses. It's about families. And so their words, the meaning of those words come out of that. So,
and the Hebrew is in the Old Testament.
Oh, there you go.
Greek is in the New Testament. So
yeah.
When you're seeing an H in front of a word, you know that that's an Old Testament word. And then if you see a G in front of it, then you know you're in the New Testament. So that's a really good way for you to have that dividing line of where you're falling.
That's good.
Practical.
Yeah, H, for the strong concordance, when you see an H, it is the Old Testament, and a G is the New Testament. Very good. There are some exceptions, but we won't get into that. So, keep or guard means to watch over or guard for protection, to preserve, a watchman, to besiege, a keeper, a monument. So, what we need to think of is that the writer, which was Solomon, Proverbs here, is saying we need to build a watch, a watchman over our heart. We need to create somehow, some way, a way to protect our hearts. And we need to realize that it's very, very necessary to watch and protect our hearts. I mean, if you guys had $1 million, and let's say you had it at your house, are you going to keep it like on the front table? Probably not, right? Are you going to keep it at your house? Probably not. You're going to probably put it in a safety deposit box of some kind, and you're going to hope that there's somebody watching over it, right? That not just anybody can walk in and just use any key and get into it. You're going to want to protect that resource. Well, our heart's like a resource, and it's either going to do good or it's going to do bad, and we'll get into that. So that first word really means to keep, to guard, It's a verb, and I think you have something that you're going to... No, you didn't?
Well, no, yeah. What I was saying when we were looking at the word last night is that there is the word keep, but there's also the word keeper, and then there's the word watch, and then there is the watchman. And so as people, We can either look at it as being just a verb of keeping, or we can look at it as we are keeping. I'm a keeper. I'm a watchman. You have to take ownership of it. You have to take personal ownership in what you're doing with your heart. That's your part in what God's planned this out, and I'll get more into that later.
Good. Next one, your heart. So your heart, it's the Hebrew word leb or lab, and it's the consciousness of man is seen as coming from deep inside the chest, the heart. Thirst and an inside desire for water. So this pictograph is like this. It's the picture of a shepherd's staff. That would be the L word. It looks like a hook. And it's the shepherd's staff that they use for herding sheep, for getting them, you know, corralled and everything. And it's representing authority. And then the, I think it's the bet, which is a picture of a house or a picture of a tent representing what is inside. So when you combine these two meanings together, it's your authority inside. So you're guarding this authority that's inside of you. You're guarding and you're protecting this device that has extreme power. And you can either let it take you one way or you can let it take you another. It's, of course, a vital organ for pumping blood and all those other things. But there's an understanding that even though it has a physical attribute to it, that the heart, even the heart muscle itself, is the center. Yeah. So even though it's a physical, it's also a spiritual item. And I think we've talked about that a little bit before. Next. With. Okay, so now you're breaking down the word with. Well, with really has some power here. So guard your heart with. And it means a function word indicating a starting point or origin. In the same sense of the plant, coming out of the seed. So this word with is coming from somewhere. So it's saying, it's talking about the heart now. And so it's saying that we're to guard our heart in such a way can you hold this a second? I need my wireless. Guard our heart in such a way that we're encompassing it, we're bringing things around it. And you're saying, well, what am I going to bring around it? Well, you're going to bring around it the testimony of God. You're going to bring around it the remembrance of His Word. You're going to bring around it, you know, happy thoughts, not bad thoughts. You know, when Nettie was saying, you know, says, let myself hope in God. It's a choice. And if we don't make the right choice, you know, we've got plenty of influence on the outside for the wrong choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do anything to be miserable. You don't. I mean, you just go through life and misery, you know, seems to come, you know, because it wants company, you know, but you have to determine and purpose in your heart to be joyful. Unless you're like one of those phlegmatic or whatever they're called but even then, I'm sure if you got right down into their very being, even though they may be flamboyant and seem happy, that on the inside there could be things going on.
Well, it's not an accident. We can maintain our hearts toward Christ and His kingdom, but you can't make a mistake in thinking that you're going to accidentally fall into it. You're not going to sit back and you're not going to say, okay, now I'm really hoping beyond all hope that my heart's going to be guarded here. You're the one that has to guard it. Like God said He'd give us a pure heart, but our part of it, He gave the pure heart, is to guard it. Once it's pure, you have to guard it. So that purity comes at time of salvation, when you're asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. At that point, you become the watchman. You become the guard. You're the one that is supposed to be guarding that heart and not allowing anything else coming in that's adverse from what God wants.
You're the source.
Right.
Yeah. You're the with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next word, all. And it means the whole group in the sense of being full of food. In other words, this word came from somebody that was just full of food and like, oh, I'm coal, is what they would say. And it's basically saying is with everything you've got, with everything, guard your heart. Mm-hmm.
If you're guarding other things, if you're guarding your eyes, if you're guarding your ears, if you're, you know, guarding, you know, where you go in town, those are all good things to guard. But it's saying, no, above everything else, guard your heart. With everything that you have, guard your heart. With all diligence. This word diligence, it means a close watching of something for guarding or protecting. So you could say that guard your heart with all guarding. Guard your heart with the best guards you have, with all diligence. It's the shepherd's constructed corrals of briars at night to protect the flock from predators. So it's literally constructing. It's literally building something around you. I think of the whole armor of God. You think of what the whole armor of God does. It protects us from our front and our back and our sides, and it gives us the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. To me, those are pictures of something that guards who we are, right. Guards our heart. Immediate charge or control exercised by a person or authority, a careful watching over as an office, guard, or prison. So if you think about this, if we go back again, that the heart is the center of our place of authority. It's the center of the power of who we are. If you think about it, the heart is the president of us. You know, some may not like the president illustration, but it's the one in charge. It's the one who makes declarations. It's the one who causes us to go a certain way or not go a certain way. It's the one of authority.
So in other words, we're shepherding our heart.
We're shepherding our heart.
So when it says that, you know, the shepherds were building a briar around, that the sheep were all inside, and they built this briar around them so that wolves or whatever could not get in to get the sheep. That, again, is the shepherd, us shepherding our heart. That's them doing the work to bring about the protection that's needed. And all this time, we're thinking, you know, God's got this, God's got this. Well, he does have it, but he expects some part of it to be from you. He doesn't expect you to receive your salvation, sit back on your laurels and say, okay, God, from here on out, I expect smooth sailing. Nothing bad's going to happen. Everything's going to be great. That's not what it's all about. It's about being active to guard your heart.
Active, proactive. It takes a forward thinking to move to a place where you're secure and safe in God. You know, he's a high tower, but we have to run into him, right? His wings are waiting there with a shadow, but we've got to go under the wings. Yeah. I mean, has to be a movement on our part. And for some, it could be just as simple as reading your Bible in the morning. For others, it could be as necessary to go in a fast. And there may be things that you need to do in your own life that Holy Spirit will tell you. Mm-hmm. Someone else doesn't have to tell you what you need to do to help guard your heart, to help position you to receive all that God has for you.
Well, what I love about this is that there's an ownership that you take in it. And that's a principle in the Word, that you're not going to offer anything that doesn't cost you anything. There's ownership in you guarding your heart. God, in his wisdom, set up the pure heart by allowing us to be the ones to guard it, because he wants us to take ownership in that guarding. He wants us to say, me and God, you know, we did this, and my heart's pure no matter what happened on the outside of this perimeter, this body, this happening. We together, me and God, we're a team. And a lot of times we just expect it to be God doing it for us and us saying, thank you, Jesus, but he wants us to take ownership in it. And it will mean something to you if you do. That's the whole thing, is it will mean something. If you get something and it's just given to you, it won't mean as much if you didn't have to pay for it, because you didn't buy it. But if you buy into this, if you own your heart by guarding it, then you and God have become a team in that. And that it means more to you when you do that.
Ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking last week, I was talking about preparing your heart. And if you think about it, if you've taken the time to prepare your heart, you've been quiet before the Lord. You know, you've been obedient. You've been doing those things that, you know, softened your heart and got God to work in it. Then just to think you don't guard it. You don't protect it. You don't keep the wolves from coming in, you're going to lose what you gained in the preparation. And then setbacks come. And then you're doing things that you used to think about you would never do. Now you're doing because you didn't protect that treasure that we have of a brand new heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Before I knew the Lord, my heart was like stone. I mean, I was cold to people. I was calloused. I didn't care about their feelings. You know, I just could care less. And after he gave me a heart of flesh, all of a sudden someone was crying and I did it. Like, oh man, forgive me. It's like, you know, there was a change in me. But, you know, if I wouldn't have treasured that gift of that new heart of flesh and just, you know, willy-nilly, like you said, go down the street and just go down through life and not do anything to reinforce what God was doing, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. All right. So that was Mishmah. Let's all say it together. Mishmah. Oh, come on, everybody. Mishmah. That can be your word of the week. You know, you've seen that on the signs around town. Word of the week. Mishmah. Hebrews will love you. Yeah, it would. Okay. Yeah, okay, so this word for is the exact same word basically as, isn't it? In the sense of burning. No, it's not, sorry. It's the next one. For here is in the sense of a burning knowledge. So if you think of it, guard your heart with all diligence. For, this is saying that this is why. This is the very intensity. This is because. This is the reason. Because it is going to be a good result if you do. It's a burning reason. This is like on fire. So when you see that word for, it doesn't just mean, oh, what's it there for? It means, okay, really pay attention. At least this Hebrew word does, key. Isn't that interesting? It's a key. I thought that was interesting. Okay, here we go. Okay, out of. For out of, this is, believe it or not, is the same Hebrew word as with. And so again, it's a function of a word indicating a starting point or origin in the sense of a plant coming out of the seed. So out of this guarding is going to spring forth something. It's something's going to spring forth out of this. And what is it? It's the issues. It's this, it's a flowing. So out of this new plant of life is going to flow, is going to start blooming and blossoming leaves, you could say. Or out of this deep well is going to start coming artesian fresh water.
That's good.
Issuing out of one place to another. So you're out of your heart, it's going to come and it's going to flow through your entire being. If you can guard your heart and keep your heart checked and right, right thoughts are going to come, right thinking's going to come, right actions are going to come. You're not going to have to sit there and try to go, okay, what's the do's and what's the don'ts? You know, what do I need to do to be good and what I do not need to do to keep from being bad? You have a heart that's right. It responds right and it lives right. And what happens? Life flows. I can't pronounce that. Kahi. That's not the word of the week. Kahi is not the word, because I can barely pronounce it. But it means when the stomach is empty, one is famished and weak, and when it is filled, one is revived. This organ is seen as the life as an empty stomach is like death, but revived is the stomach is life. So in other words, you're empty. You don't have any food in your stomach. You haven't had it for days, weeks. What's happening? You're depreciating. You're dying. And what it's saying here, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flows the fullness of God. Out of it flows the fullness of life.
It may sound like I'm going backwards to last week, but there's a reason for it, so just stick with me. The really huge relief that I find is that the pure heart isn't dependent upon our pure past. A lot of times we disqualify ourselves in godly things because We think that a pure heart has to be only from a pure vessel, but God is the one that changes the heart. So it doesn't disqualify you if you've had a pure past or not. It's what you've done with your heart with God that matters. That's the turning point. So when we receive that truth, it makes it easier to guard my heart, because my heart has been turned over for God. It's been redone. You know what I mean? Remade. God has given me a heart of flesh when it was a heart of stone. So that tells me he takes that heart of stone out and then he puts in a heart of flesh. Right?
What about the past, if you've given your heart to the Lord and now you've gone and you've let it go on its own and it's become corrupted again? So what about that past?
You go to Jesus and you ask him for forgiveness and it starts all over again right there. Lisa, when she came to this church for the first time, well, not the first time, the second time, I was just a children's pastor, and I wasn't the one that stood up here and, you know, led people in the sinner's prayer. All I knew how to do was lead little kids. And so in little kid language, I led Lisa back to the Lord. And what Lisa did between the first time and the second time is all gone, just like before was all gone. That's how good God is. And that's what God's grace does. See, God's grace is that his mercy's new today. You may have messed up yesterday. And you can sit there and you can moan and groan about what you did yesterday. Or you can realize that his mercy's new for you today. Let's go today. Let's start today. Let's begin today doing what we need to do. The right thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and keep in mind, God's mercy is being new. That's just a reinforcement that his mercies are new to forgive and to forget everything that was behind on a new morning. Right. They're new every single morning.
Every morning. There's a few points I want us to remember. Number one is that your heart will cool off if you don't do anything to guard it. God is not the one that's going to cool your heart off. You will be the one. So if you're not guarding it, it will go cold. It will turn to stone if you're not guarding your heart. And then the other thing is that you have to realize that guarding your heart means guarding it, its willingness to love, and this is going to be hard, and to be exposed out there where it can get wronged or wounded. I mean, people have been wounded and your heart's been hurt, and you're like, I'm not doing that again, you know. Hurt me once, shame on you.
And you think you're guarding it this way.
Yeah, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to ever let you get that close again. Are you crazy? But that's not what God says. That is not what he says at all. Because how many times have I hurt my Lord and he is still taking me back to the fresh mercy that I needed? How many times? So I want us to turn, if you guys will, in your word to Exodus. It's chapter 34. And I'm going to be actually reading out of the New International Version. I don't normally, but I really like the way this translates. And I'm going to read all of 5, 6, and half of 7 in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, 5. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him. This is Moses. He's the him. And proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Now this word maintaining in the very first part of chapter 7, it's actually also the Hebrew base of the word guard, guarding. It's the same thing. So maintaining your heart, if you drive a car and you never maintain the car, you never take it in for oil change, or you never check the tires, or you never, you know, whatever. The only thing that may be holding that thing of junk together is the dirt that you don't wash off at the car wash. Do you know what I mean? Because it will wear out if you're not maintaining the health of the car. It's the same thing with your heart. You have to maintain it. And so God is saying, I maintain my love for you. He's telling that to Moses. All of y'all, not just Moses. It says the thousands. He's maintaining his love for us, and he wants us to maintain our love for him by guarding our heart.
That's good.
So I'm going to leave you with this verse.
It's Proverbs 4:23 from the Concordant Literal Version, CLV.
More than any guard post, preserve your heart, for from it spring the outflowings of life. More than any guard post, more than anything else you're guarding, make sure that you're guarding your heart. Preserve your heart. Make sure that it is safe. There's none of us that would not try to, for our kids, keep them safe. Think of your heart as just as necessary to guard. Because out of it springs the issues of life. From it springs the outflowings of life. Life flows out of our heart, or death flows out of our heart. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either on one side or the other. And so,
so good.
Father, we just come before your throne right now, and we just ask you, Lord, to heal any of our emotions, any of our mindsets, Lord, any of our past experiences, Lord, that have made it so that we don't properly guard our heart. Holy Spirit, we want you to come alongside of us and remind us at times when we're not protecting our heart, and maybe we're in a situation or a circumstance and it could bring damage or wound or steal what you've done in our hearts, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would remind us and tell us how to be safe and to get out of that situation. We give you permission, Lord, to get into our hearts and to heal our hearts and to restore our hearts, Lord, to fresh and new. And we just thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And that all of us, every single person in this room, whether we've never given our hearts to you or whether we've been walking with you for 30 to 50 years, Lord, we can have a new day in you. We can have a new heart in you. So, Lord, we just ask that you would just do your work that's necessary in each and every one of us. Bring us to a place, Lord, of total reliance and dependence on you. And bring us to a place, Lord, where we guard that reliance and that dependence that we have on you. We just thank you, Lord, for being in our lives and being the one that gave us this new heart of flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Any questions by anybody? No questions? None? Okay, everybody's got it. You have a question?
I just wanted to share something that happened with me yesterday in the Women's Northwest Grace International Women's Conference happened Friday night and Saturday, and I wasn't going to go because I was really sick, but Lynette talked me into it because she's had the flu shot. So she came and got me and took me with her. So we went, and something happened yesterday morning, and it's hard to explain everything, and I don't want to explain all of it, but what I do want to say is that God knew I needed to be there too. Like, that was probably him pushing. And someone came up, a pastor's wife came up, and she said a specific word, it could not be unless you experienced what she's getting ready to say. It's not about you. And so she said, I just sense that there are a couple ladies here who are experiencing deep, deep grief. And that's me. I am.
I'm going through the death of my dad, and it's been hard. I've told you guys that already. But what was so amazing about it is, and I know this in my head, but my heart kind of got it yesterday, is that God loves me so much. He loves you so much. He will go to any length to let you know. He knows your name, and he loves you. And God went to that length with me yesterday. He told that woman, there are a couple ladies here, and people gathered around both of us and prayed for us. And that's not where the beginning of the healing started for me. It was that God knows my name. He knew I'd be there. He planned it from the get-go. The sickness that I had could have been the result of me not going, but there's just something that just drew me. Do you know what I mean? Like this, that's just that invisible drawing. And I knew that that was what it was all about. So you guys, he knows your name. He knows your heart. He loves you so much. He will go to any length to let you know that. So with a God like that, you can't go wrong. You just can't. Just can't.
And keep in mind that as you are his representative, as you are his ambassador, that you can be used to go any length to show that same love to others. You can be his hands and his feet. You can be his voice. But we have to be willing. And if our heart's not right, we're not going to be willing to put ourselves on the line. So you having your heart right helps other people's hearts get right with God. Amen. Well, bless you. Love you. You guys have a great week.
Blessings.
And I didn't cough one time. Praise the Lord.